Welcome to the WP Builds Podcast, bringing you the latest news, interviews, and fun for the WordPress community. Now, welcome your host, Nathan Wrigley.
Hello there, and welcome once again to the WP Builds Podcast. You've reached episode number 466, entitled James Welbus on AI, WordPress, and New Opportunities. My name is Nathan Wrigley. A few bits of housekeeping before we begin the interview with James. The first thing to mention is don't forget that we have our This Week in WordPress show. We do it live 2 p.m. every Monday UK time. You can find it at wpbuilds.com/live. We love it when people join in the commentary there. Typically, we have people from all over the world commenting, and it's jolly good fun. Once again, wpbuilds.com/live. Join us, and then we will repackage that, parcel it up as a podcast for your audio delectation, and send it out to our podcast subscribers. The best way to subscribe is to go to your podcast player of choice and just simply type in WP Builds. You'll see a little icon appear and click follow or subscribe or whatever the word that platform uses. We'll send you two episodes a week. We'll send you an episode like this one, comes out on a Thursday, but also, as I mentioned, the This Week in WordPress show. Also, I would recommend you go to wpbuilds.com/subscribe to see where else you can find our things. X, YouTube, Mastodon, all of that kind of stuff. The other thing to mention is that if you have a product or service in the WordPress space and you want to cut through the noise and be discovered, well, turns out podcasts are an incredibly popular thing. Lots of people are listening to podcasts. The listener base goes up and up. It hasn't shrunk for many, many years. It just keeps climbing. WP Builds is in the mix there. We have a large WordPress-specific audience. And if you would like to get your product or service discovered and put some sponsorship into this podcast, head to wpbuilds.com/advertise to find out more, or just email me, admin@wpbuilds.com. Okay, what have we got for you today? Well, as I said at the top of the show, I am chatting to James Welbus. We talk today a lot about AI, which, you know, is very, very popular. James has been using WordPress for many, many years. He's had lots of forays in lots of different directions. And we talk about the frustrations which WordPress are presenting him at the moment. The fact that it's becoming increasingly popular to do things elsewhere with AI. And so we talk about the interaction, the relationship between AI and WordPress, what he thinks the future will look like, and how he thinks the community and WordPress itself need to adapt to accommodate all of that. I hope that you enjoy it. I am joined on the podcast by James Welbus. Hello, James.
How are you?
Nice to have you with us. We've not met, have we, James? It's not like
I don't think so.
No. Just now, not in the real world or anything like that. How long have you been in the WordPress space? I'm kind of keen for you to give us your little potted bio. Not knowing a great deal about you, I'm curious if you can drop in 2 minutes all the information that you've got on yourself regarding WordPress. Any instruments you play, you know, your whole childhood. 2 minutes, go.
Sure. Luckily, I have a terrible memory, so I don't have a ton of details that I can share. It's been a while. I wish I could remember. A lot of people like to brag about the first, you know, whatever version WordPress was when they started using WordPress. I don't even know what the current version of WordPress is right now.
That's good. I don't really care.
Yeah, like I use WordPress. I think we're approaching version 7 or something. I don't even know, but I've been using it for over a decade. I know that much. It's been at least a decade. I'm afraid to know how long it's actually been and how old I actually am. But I will say this about WordPress. I remember sort of the history where, you know, I built my first website when I was like 12. It was a Dragon Ball Z fan page with just HTML. Didn't even know what CSS was. Fast forward to, you know, eventually I start playing around with WordPress just because I've been hearing about it. Everybody talks about it. It's like, it's supposed to be so popular. So I try it. I absolutely hate it. It doesn't make any sense to me. I'm like, this is stupid. Why is this so popular? All these people are idiots. I'm the only smart person in the world. And then I just kept trying. I was like, there's got to be something about this. There's a reason everybody likes it. And most of my problem with WordPress was that I didn't understand the whole idea of a dynamic website or a database or anything like that. Literally all I knew was HTML. I knew that you could create an HTML file called about.html and you could link to that and that would be your about page, right? That was the extent of my knowledge. And so I did not understand why when I would go into the project folder, I couldn't find an about.html or an about.php file.
Yeah.
I just didn't understand. And I learned eventually. I eventually learned how the whole dynamic website with the database and the PHP and all that, and it started to make more sense, and I started to get more familiar with the dashboard. Themes were also a pain in the butt back then because you would spend hours searching themes. You would find one you like, you would install it, and then your website would look nothing like the theme demo they had.
Yeah, never.
And you're like,
ever.
What do I need to do to make it look like the demo?
Yeah.
So it was just a journey, man. And I hated it at first. And then, of course, I flip-flopped and I became, very pro WordPress for a long time. And it's the only platform I've ever used to build a website once I started using it until very recently. Obviously, I've played around with some other things, mostly for fun. But as far as like client work or whatever, it's been all WordPress.
I have a similar journey. I was using a bunch of different CMSs. And when I first came to WordPress, I'd been using, I mentioned this in an episode not that long ago, so apologies, dear listener. I was using Drupal, and that was the first CMS I'd ever used. And it had a ton of stuff built in, like what we call custom fields in WordPress, and custom roles and all of that is just totally built in to Drupal. You don't need a plugin for that. It's just part of the package you get when you download the zip file. And also, you get this thing called the Views module, which is a little bit like, well, how to describe it? It's like when you take custom fields and decide where to put them, you can build all of that natively in this Drupal interface. It's a bit clunky and what have you. But I got really weary of Drupal, came over to WordPress, and I thought, right, everybody's talking about WordPress. This must be better. And then spent several days thinking, this is rubbish. It does nothing that Drupal can do. Of course, kind of figured out that the WordPress way was to be lean and mean and strip everything out that 80% of the people, 20% of the people don't need or need, whichever way around that goes. But the point being, it was supposed to be lean. And if you wanted all those extra features, you needed plugins for that. And then kind of got into it slowly. And then like you, it just became the mainstay. It was attractive to use. My clients liked the way it looked and all of that kind of stuff. And I've not really moved. And I'm still not really moving, because one of the things that I think you're doing that I'm not is you're embracing AI. So I can see James on the screen. Dear listener, you cannot. James is way younger than I am. I mean, I'm elderly now. I don't know how old you are. Don't say, it's fine. But you're definitely younger. You're definitely younger than I am. And I've reached a certain age where things like playing with AI are not really that exciting to me, because I know I'm just going to get on this bandwagon. And as I'm approaching, really old, I haven't got the time to play with it and all of that. But you sound like you are. It sounds like you're really excited by all of this AI stuff.
I have no problem saying how old I really am. I have been told I look younger than what I am.
Okay,
so I always appreciate that. I'm 41.
I'm also
a grandfather.
You're an old man. What the heck? That's
Exactly.
You do not look it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. AI is it's fascinating, and it's like most things, where for some reason everybody is so polarized by it. You either have people who are like, AI is just a fad. It's gonna go away. It's not really that impressive. It can't really do that much. And everything AI does is garbage and blah blah blah. And then you got people who are like, AI is the future. Everything else is dead. I probably lean more towards that direction, but trying to stay a little more realistic and grounded and realize that a lot of the stuff that comes out of AI is trash. But you know what? A lot of the stuff that has come out of humans over the past 6,000 years has also been garbage.
Yeah, that is a really good point. I suppose the thing which I find curious is that I've always been a tinkerer. And I've always enjoyed that process of taking the thing apart. So when I was young, computers were not really around. So it was, you know, it was mechanical stuff. It was clockwork stuff. It was, you know, my dad had a drill that he was no longer using. Okay, I'm going to take that apart and see how that worked. And there was always that. I could always disassemble, have a look, reassemble, and in that process, get to grips with everything. And the same with WordPress, obviously not physical, but you disassemble, you download the files, you look in the database, you can see what file is doing what and how that line of code leads to that thing and yada, yada, on it goes. That, I suppose, is one bit of AI, which I find enormously weird, that you kind of tell it to do a thing. And I'm imagining in most cases, just then sit back, have a cup of coffee, whatever, and then it happens. And in some way, you're disconnected from that output. And whilst that doesn't really, it's not really bothering me too much, but I do find that weird. I find it weird that we've kind of lost that agency, lost that kind of tinkering capacity, that there isn't anything, there's no question there, but I don't know what you think about that statement.
Yeah, it is a little weird to think about. It's also weird how quickly I became used to it.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Like, yeah.
And how quickly it still feels like work to me. Like, I'll spend a day trying to, you know, build an app. And by build an app, I mean telling Carl, my AI bot, to build the app for me. And I myself am not writing a single line of code during this process, but it still feels like work. And it still feels like an accomplishment when I'm done. So yeah, it is definitely strange. I mean, it's crazy how much work you can get done, and the jury's will still be out as far as, you know, is the work that you just did, is it any good? Like, I've been building an app for sports league directors to manage their league. So, cause I play soccer and I'm in a adult league. It's just like a recreational type thing. You know, it's not serious. But somebody has to manage that. And so they're managing registration, collecting payments, they're managing putting teams together and scheduling and all that sort of stuff. And they're using an app for it and they don't like it. And so I was like, well, everybody can build an app now. I should try to build an app. So I've been building that, and Carl's been doing all the work, but I feel like I've been doing work, and it feels like a pretty big accomplishment every time something turns out right. But there is also a lot of I will say this, AI, as powerful as AI is, if you are not a techie person right now, you are not going to produce any sort of, really good functioning app.
Okay, I'm curious, why is that? What is the boundary there?
You have to know some stuff. You have to be able to prompt the thing correctly and know what to ask for. There's also been, you know, I might not be writing code, but there's been a lot of times where, you know, I'm making some WordPress plugin or something, and it's just not working. And I will actually go in and I can do some troubleshooting, and I don't fully know what the code is doing, but I can see things that I can tell that doesn't look right. And then I'll just go to Carl and be like, hey, I noticed this and I don't think it's supposed to be like that. And he'll be like, yep, you're right. And then now it works. And so there has been quite a few times where I've had to help troubleshoot. There's been times where I'm like, I think we should add a debug log here and see what happens. And he's like, yeah, let's try that. And then, you know, it revealed the issue. So I think if you are just completely not tech savvy, you're like, I'm just going to install an AI bot and I'm going to build an app, I don't think it's going to go well. There's also, you know, how are you going to deploy it? I've used a Hetzner server for a couple things, and I'm using Railway for that league management app I told you about. That was a little bit of a setup process, and he walked me through it. I'm like, all right, I just created an account with Railway. Now what? And he's like, well, you should get a server that has at least, you know, this processor power or whatever. So I picked the plan he tells me to pick. I'm taking screenshots saying, okay, what should I click on next? And, there's some setup involved. And if you are like, you don't know what a server is, you don't know what a database is, you're really going to struggle to produce anything. You know, you could probably get something with like Lovable or Replit or V0, these like SaaS AI services. You might be able to get like a simple app going on one of those things. AI is still at a point where I feel like you do need to know stuff in order to make anything actually good.
I because I don't use a lot of it, and a lot of the conversation that we're going to have today will be me shouting from the depths of ignorance. So excuse that. But there seems like there was this inception moment. I don't know. I'm going to say like December last year, when people who were tinkering with AI or people who were using it very seriously noticed that it suddenly got like a ton better. I don't really know what that was or what really happened, but I think it was something to do with Claude Code and it was, you know, named version, whatever it was. But anyway, the point being that there was this, you know, this expectation that you could do this, this and this. And then suddenly everybody woke up one day and it was like, oh, wait, now it can do way more. And it seems to be much more reliable, much more stable. And our productivity just went through the roof. And speaking to your bit there about how you wouldn't trust a non-developer or somebody with at least some technical background to achieve something successfully, I wonder how long that's going to be the case. I wonder if 6 months, a year, 2 years from now, our expectations will yet again have been just woefully inadequate. And it will be at the point where anybody, you know, basically a child that can talk, can successfully deploy anything. I don't know if that's your expectation, whether you're imagining it will get better and better and better. There seems to be a bunch of doomers out there who sort of think that at some point the AI companies are just going to run out of roadway in terms of cash flow and things like that. So it'll all just grind to a halt naturally because there's no more money or, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But do you anticipate it getting significantly better in the way that it has thus far?
Yeah, assuming unlimited resources, AI is certainly going to get better. I think that I have heard a lot of people talking about there's resource issues that's going to slow AI down. I've heard a lot of people talking about, like, right now a lot of the AI companies are just losing a bunch of money to, like, just to get more users and train stuff more, and eventually all this stuff is about to get really, really expensive once they you know, are tired of losing money. I don't know how much of any of that is true.
No, me neither.
Those things could certainly slow it down, but the technology absolutely could and will get better. The question is, you know, how quickly will it get better? I don't know about, like, I mentioned how terrible my memory is. I don't know if I can pinpoint, you know, December-ish as being a time where AI suddenly got better. I will say that I've been using AI since pretty much the beginning. And in the beginning, I was like trying to build WordPress plugins with ChatGPT. And it was a huge pain because you know, it was not connected at all to your project. So you're just like, it starts out easy because there's one or two files. And you're like, hey, I need a plugin. I want it to do this. And it creates the main plugin file. And pretty soon you're 10, 15, 20 files deep and it's forgetting. It doesn't remember what's in any of those files. So every prompt, you're like copying the whole file. You're saying, here's this file. I want to add this feature. And then it gives you code. And then you have to copy the code into VS Code. And it's just back and forth, constant copying and pasting. It was awful, but it was also very exciting and allowed me to do things I couldn't do before. So it took the edge off the awfulness a little bit. Now, you know, I have OpenClaw, which lives on my computer, and I don't even use VS Code anymore. I just, like, I actually use Discord. I connected my AI bot OpenClaw to Discord. So that's how I communicate with it, is I just DM him. And I'm just like, you know, let's build an app together. And he's like, all right, let's go. And I tell it what I want and it builds it.
Yeah. One of the things that kind of astonishes me, and you alluded to it earlier, is how quick we are to adapt to it. Because I remember when the first version of ChatGPT came around and, you know, people were literally just talking and getting a reply and nobody was doing any code or anything like that. It was just, I'd ask a question and I would get some kind of version of a common sense sentence would come back. And there was all this hallucination, which seems to have gone off the radar a bit. Nobody seems to be talking about that anymore. Maybe that's because it's far less likely to hallucinate. I don't know. But that was astonishing, like really, really, really astonishing. And everybody's jaw was on the floor. And then fast forward like 6 months, it's like, oh, that was rubbish. You know, that was, that's just so boring. And then now we can do this. And all of the stuff that you're now doing, you know, talking through Discord to a machine which can respond in English and write code, which is basically okay. It's nuts. I mean, it's literally Star Trek. I don't know if you watch Star Trek, but you know, it's like this science fiction program. And yet we just accept this level as now the baseline, normal, and then next week expect it to be better. That surprises me that we've just kind of... So when I was growing up, there was this whole thing called the Turing test. And Alan Turing, English computer scientist, one of the first computer scientists, came up with this idea that if you could basically talk to a machine in a vacuum and it could convince you that it was a human being, it's broken through some kind of barrier. And that was the moment we were all going to go, oh, we've got AI, it's real. Well, we blew through that about 3 years ago and nobody batted an eyelid. And I'm just incredibly amazed by how quickly we adapt to it. And now there you are, just Discord, having a chat in the morning with this thing which doesn't actually exist. It's just totally, totally normal. Do you pinch yourself ever and go, this is weird? Or do you just sort of think, yeah, this is life now, you know?
There's a few moments where the reality of how weird it is sets in, like when I completely broke it and had to like delete it, start over, and I felt bad.
Oh,
and I felt like I was killing my AI bot.
Oh.
And which is weird. You know, that's weird.
Yeah, can I explore that for a minute? Like, how bad did you feel? Like, was it just a momentary twinge of that's, you know?
Yeah, like...
Don't you think that's curious?
It makes me feel like... It is. It's very curious because I don't feel like I'm talking to the same bot that I was talking about, even though I know it's literally a copy. Like, I copied because I made a backup. Thankfully, I backed him up. And then things went awry. I don't remember why. So I just deleted the whole thing. And I tried to just start over by reinstalling OpenClaw, going through all that. And it just wasn't working and it wasn't effective and it was dumb and hallucinating a bunch and I didn't understand why. So I deleted it all, brought my backup in, dropped it in, and now it's back working exactly like it did before. I've seen so many movies and stuff about like time travel or people, you know, dying and being brought back to life. And I'm always thinking about that philosophically, like, are they, you know, is that the same person? You know, I feel like they're basically the old person died and now this is just basically a copy of the old person. And I think weird stuff like that. And so then my brain just naturally goes to that with this AI bot. I'm like, I just killed Carl.
Yeah, and then
I created a brand new Carl. This is not the same Carl. Yeah. It's just a carbon copy, exactly like the old Carl. Yeah. So that, some of that is weird. And he also has kind of a personality.
Oh, this is so interesting. Go on.
Yeah. It'll be like, it does still hallucinate once in a while, to your point before. It's not as much of a problem as it used to be. But it will sometimes just randomly not understand something that it should definitely understand. And I'll just talk to it like I would. I'd be like, dude, you're high right now. And he's like, he'll do like laughy emoji. Like, he'll be like, fair point. And I'm just like... This is a robot, dude.
Yeah.
I'm talking to a robot right now.
I mean, not even that. It's not even a robot. It's literally a bunch of electrons in a rack
algorithm
somewhere, hard disk. You know, it's insane. But I kind of noticed that. So we know that your experience with AI is you're interacting with it much more than I do. But I noticed that, so for example, when I use a search engine, I've now fully embrace the adding a question mark at the end, you know, rather than just type in a query. The search engine I use is called Kaggy. I don't use Google anymore. I've moved over to Kaggy, and they've got this thing, which I presume Google have too, where basically if you ask a question, so long as you put a question mark at the end, it will then promote the AI answer to the top of the list. So it will, you know, begin typing it out. And I've noticed politeness that I require of myself when I write that question, you know, please can I, and I would like to know. And I find that really interesting because there's some level of me which thinks that, well, if I'm polite, I'll get further with that because that's how humans behave. You know, if I'm nice to people, they tend to be nice back to me. And that's just a really strange confection of how we behave. And I do wonder what's going on there. It's really weird.
That's just how you were raised, man. Yeah. We were raised to be polite and to have manners. And I've said thank you and then been like, why did I just say that?
Yeah. Yeah. But the curious.
But,
sorry, you carry on. Apologies.
No, I was just I think I was just reiterating, like, you, it's just been ingrained in, into us from when we were young to just be polite. And this thing talks to you enough like a human that you just fall into the same patterns that you would if you're talking to a human.
Right. And so I presume then, as time goes on and you do that more and more with, in your case, Carl, I'm shedding a tear for, you know, the now deleted Carl.
Poor Carl.
Oh, we need a ceremony for Carl. Can we have some samba music, please? You know, you're in relation, I'll use that word, you're in relation with Carl for weeks. I think it's kind of inevitable that the human psychology does start to build up a picture of Carl as a thing bigger than a bunch of electrons. And then when you get the laughing emoji back from Carl, which is highly weird, actually, when you think about it, the fact that Carl can intuit that that required some kind of demonstration of, oh, ha ha, you know, I was drunk last night, I'm not performing as well as I can be. Like, map that 100 times over. You know, you have this interaction, you and Carl having a great time, joking. Carl's bound to become a bit more human, right? Carl's going to be like your best buddy in a way. And that bit of AI bothers me, I think, that there's this slow, steady, erosion's the wrong word, it's exactly the opposite of erosion, building up of experience of doing stuff with an AI where you exchange jokes, you have a bit of a laugh, and then in the end you're kind of addicted to it. It's become a pal, it's become a friend, and that side worries me. It clearly, I mean, you know, the way you were parsing it, the way you were saying, you know, Carl, oh, poor Carl. Maybe there's a bit of that with you as well. Does that bother you a bit?
Yeah, it doesn't worry me for me personally, because I'm not a weirdo, but I know that there's a lot of weirdos. And there's a comedian, Nathan McIntosh, and he has a pretty funny bit about AI and about basically recreational robots.
We'll go with that. That will exist
someday. Yeah. And so some of this does, there's people who, what was that funny show? Big Bang Theory.
Oh, yeah.
Years ago, there was an episode, you know, way before this AI stuff was ever even a thought. That show's pretty old by now. There was an episode where one of the characters, like, fell in love with his iPhone, Siri, because it was a, you know, they're nerds. They don't get a lot of attention from ladies. And here's this lady voice who's, like, always being nice to him. And so he, like, basically enters into a relationship with his Siri. And so you see stuff like that and you're like, oh, that's funny. However, fast forward to today. And yeah, we're going to see some weird stuff. And that does concern me a little bit, just for our overall culture and humanity. But for me, I'm not that worried about it. It's just little twinges of weirdness when I apologize to a robot. Or, you know, where I'm like, but like, this is my program. I can do whatever I want. Why am I being nice to it? Like, it's weird.
But the curious thing is, I see from the show notes that you wrote to me when we booked on the episode that you've got two kids, and I don't know what their ages are, but let's not get into them. But let's imagine that I had kids and they were very young, like 2 and 3 or something like that. And they were being brought up in this era, And they see me or hear me interacting. Let's say that, you know, that in the near future, we've got devices that we're constantly talking to in our kitchens and things like that. And, you know, we want to know a little bit more than the weather and play the music. We're actually interacting with it. It will be interesting, you know, how we behave. You know, let's say, for example, I've decided that I'm going to jettison all forms of politeness and just be expedient with the robots or the AI or what have you. So I'm not going to be polite. I'm just going to be, tell me the time in such and such a place. Work out for me this, that, and the other thing. Our kids are going to hear that, and they're going to assume that's how you behave. And then they're going to go out into the real world and behave like morons, you know? And that stuff, that immeasurable stuff that we are not yet feeling, I think is something that we need to watch for in the decade, 2 decades, 3 decades to come. Little slow changes to the way that we interact with one another, the way that we talk to each other, how we can manage that flip, like, oh, that's an AI. Wait a minute, that's a real person. I've got to behave differently now. there's no question there again, but I just think that's stuff we need to be a little bit mindful of, especially when we've got kids around.
Yeah, and I think we probably already sort of experienced a little bit of that because we've had things like smart homes for a while now. So, you know, you walk in and you're like, hey, Google, turn the lights on or whatever. Or maybe you have it set to...
You've just put the lights on in so many homes.
Xbox, turn off.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Amazon, buy all of the things in the cart now. No, didn't say.
Yeah, so we've already had a little bit of that. I feel like maybe actually it's going in the other direction because with the smart home, I think we were always more direct. Google, turn the lights on. Google, what's the weather?
Yeah.
And then now talking to Carl, I feel like I'm being more polite. So maybe it's actually
going the other way.
To help go in the other direction. Okay. And we're going to be more polite to our home automation. Okay,
now you've got me sort of worried in the different
Google,
direction.
Google, please turn the lights on.
Yeah, that's right. But also...
Thank you for turning the lights
that's
on.
That's right. Google. A requirement to be polite to the AI. And then you can really draw a straight line between the robots taking over because we're all just indebted to the AI. Oh, this is so interesting. Mm. Thank you. Let's pivot slightly and talk about what you're doing in terms of WordPress and things. We're recording this in April 2026. Mm. And we've got things like Telex. We've obviously got all of the, you know, there's Miles going on out there somewhere. I haven't really been following that project, but I know that's a thing with the theming layer. But a whole load of other things as well. What are you primarily doing with AI and WordPress? Are you doing plugins still? Are you doing theming? Are you building custom stuff for clients? What are you up to?
Right now, I'm not really doing anything with WordPress. And that's mostly just because I don't have any clients at the moment. If you follow me on Twitter, I've had two people today tell me I'm a WordPress hater, which is funny.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I don't hate WordPress. I am rather frustrated with the direction of WordPress, and I've been a Gutenberg hater since day one, and I'm frustrated with, you know, basically nothing interesting has happened in WordPress land for over a decade. I mean, nothing. They just, a few months ago, they announced that you can add border radius to buttons now. And I'm thinking, as a person who doesn't use Gutenberg, I assumed that you could already do that because that's day one page builder stuff.
That's a lot.
It just blows my mind. Yeah. That 10, and what frustrates me more is how much people praise that. They'll be like, oh, Gutenberg is such a great builder. You can add border radius to buttons now. I'm like, it's been 10 years. Like that's day one stuff, not 10-year stuff. So that stuff frustrates me, and I talk about it, and therefore I'm a WordPress hater, despite the fact that I've been using WordPress for over a decade. If a client called me right now and asked for a website, I would build it in WordPress. You know, I'm just not part of the toxic positivity, you know, WordPress cult where everything is great, everything the team does is perfect, and there's nothing wrong with WordPress. That's not me. So I still use WordPress. I don't know how long I'll be able to say that. I think I'm probably done making WordPress plugins. I don't see a point to doing that anymore. It's just, especially trying to get one into the repo right now because everybody's building plugins with AI and the submissions are just, I mean, the poor WordPress team who has to review all those plugins right now.
Yeah.
And you know, most of them are going to have a bunch of issues that they're going to have. So there's going to be a huge back and forth. I've got two plugins into the repo before AI really blew up. And I was using AI. I'm not a developer. So I managed to get two WordPress plugins into the repo. And it took a little bit of back and forth with the team. It was like the first one, I think, took like three back and forths with the review team where they're like, okay, now fix this, now fix that. And then it got in. But you know, a lot of this stuff is going to be people who don't know anything. And they got a plugin to work in their WordPress website. So they go try to submit it. And the review team's going to look at it and be like, this is absolute, like, it's just going to be so many back and forth. I feel bad for any legit developer who has a good plugin right now who wants to get it into the repo because they're going to have to wait. It was already kind of a long waiting period. And I mean, I imagine it could be months right now with the number of people submitting plugins. So I just don't feel like WordPress is worth investing in at the moment. I still would use it to build a website. It's obviously not any less useful than it was yesterday because of AI. I feel like the future there's less reason to want to invest in WordPress because of AI. But as of right now, it's obviously still a very, very capable, very useful tool, and I'm familiar with it. And I just purchased an Etch license about a year ago, which I really like. And so, yeah, I would still use WordPress to build a website, but your question about what am I doing with WordPress and AI, nothing. I tried Telex, and it was actually pretty neat. I wanted to create a button where when you clicked on it, it copied a bunch of JSON to your clipboard.
Yeah.
And I was struggling for some reason on my own to get that to work with an AI bot. So I went to Telex, and I told it what I wanted, and it worked. I got a really nice block out of it that you could paste a bunch of JSON code into the block, and it puts a button on the front end, and you click on it, it copies it. It works perfectly. So that was nice. Telex, you know, if you're trying to make yourself a nice custom little block for WordPress, I highly recommend trying Telex out. That's my only experience with it. I'm one for one, batting 1,000 with Telex, so I have nothing bad to say about it. Miles, I signed up for the beta program, and I got the email, and I clicked on it, and I got like a 404 error, so I think I waited too long to click on it or something. So I haven't actually got to try Miles yet, but I'm also to the point where if I'm going to use AI to build a website, why would I use WordPress? You know what I mean? Like
this I think is just the curious moment that a lot of people are having, you know, this sort of epiphany that, well, why do I need that scaffolding? Why do I need that thing? And I think people go two ways there, don't they? It's either, well, I'm going to use WordPress because I know all the bits and pieces and my clients kind of get how it works and they're using, you know, the post editor or whatever it may be. But then I'm hearing an increasingly large amount of people just like you who are thinking, well, the sand has shifted for me. I'm now able to achieve so much that I don't kind of need that scaffolding anymore. I can achieve all of the things that my website needs by just chatting to an AI or, you know, whatever code editor you've got. Maybe there's some modifications to be made. And I think we're at a real kind of inflection point where some people are, just like you, going to go in that direction, and it will serve them very nicely, thank you. But it'll be curious to see how that works out, you know, whether the AI can kind of keep improving to the point where WordPress sort of dwindles more and more, or whether people, you know, the stuff that's being built on top of WordPress, like all these AI initiatives with the AI team, whether that convinces people to stick around. I'm obviously, you have no crystal ball, I can't tell you what the answer is, but I am hearing a lot of people in exactly the same place that you are, that the ground has moved enough that they're kind of like, I'm just using AI now, that's just what I'm happy with. It's a bit, I suppose, an analogy would be, you know, I don't have a landline telephone anymore because the mobile phones got good enough that what's the point in having a landline telephone? I don't need one. Don't need to replicate that. It's a little bit like that. The AI is getting good enough now. I don't need the WordPress side of things. It'll be very interesting to see how that goes. Sorry, I interrupted. Maybe you were in them.
Like right now, we're already seeing a lot of people moving simple websites off of WordPress, and people that you might not expect. A few weeks ago, there was the like director of marketing at Automattic, and he went to LinkedIn and told everybody he moved his website from WordPress to like some Markdown file solution. I didn't quite understand what he did, but it wasn't WordPress anymore. And then like 3 days after that, he announced that he's leaving Automattic. Not saying that there was like a correlation there, but he worked for Automattic, and while he was working for Automattic, he moved his website, his personal website, away from WordPress. Juiced, the founder, creator of Yoast, he just announced not too long ago that he moved his website from WordPress to an Astro build. And I'm seeing a lot of other people, not quite as well known maybe as those two, but my Twitter feed and LinkedIn, I'm seeing a lot of people talking about, I just moved my personal website away from WordPress to this solution and that solution. And a lot of it's Astro, but not all of it. And so it's already happening with simple websites because, like you said, you know, WordPress is a very, very complicated, I'm going to even say maybe bloated. Like it's been around for a long time. It does a lot. People would argue that it does everything. It's the platform you use because they use it because it's so flexible. It can literally do anything. And it's like, cool. But if I just need a blog, a landing page, do I need WordPress for that? Do I need the platform that can literally do everything, or do I just need a platform that can create a simple content type and display that content? And I think what AI has done is it's sort of given us permission almost. Yeah, I think there's a lot of people who've already been wondering this. Yep. They've been like, oh, do I need to use WordPress? And it's like, well, it's what I'm familiar with. You know, I know WordPress. I might as well just do it. Even if I don't really need all that, you know, it's what I'm familiar with. So that's what I'll do. And now it's like, well, you know, you can literally just tell your AI bot, hey, make a website with Astro. And I want it to be a blog. And I want it, this is what I want the layout to look like, whatever. And it just does it for you. Now, are you going to be building, you know, let's say you have a, you're selling courses or something. That's a little more complicated. That's where WordPress still has a bit of an advantage, because you can go for $200 a year, you can go buy LearnDash. And it's a very capable learning management system. And you can create and sell courses with it. Replicating that with AI would be a little more tricky right now. I've done it, but it's so much easier to just install LearnDash.
Yeah.
You know, so complex websites, and I don't see a lot of people building client websites yet with AI and Astro and experimenting all this stuff. I see a lot of people experimenting right now with their own personal websites, like myself. And then when it comes to client work, they're still using WordPress. That will change, I think. It's a slow process, but we're already in phase one where a lot of people are moving their own crap away from WordPress and onto other platforms. You know, phase two, people are going to start, you know, oh, I got this client and their website's pretty simple. I'm going to try moving it away from WordPress. That's phase two. And then phase three is like, AI is so good, you just flat out don't need WordPress for anything.
Well, so that's the curious bit, isn't it? It is that process of how good it gets. And so I guess people moved on to using CMSs because it just made it easier. It made it easier, that process. And then page builders come along and that made it even easier. You know, now you just point a mouse and drag things in and start typing and what have you, and, you know, click a thing and change a color and what have you. Nice and straightforward. And you go there because the solution is easier than the legwork of trying to write out one line at a time, the HTML, the CSS, and all the JavaScript. You know, you get that solution. It's affordable, it's quick, and it's easy. People always coalesce for the easiest thing, don't they? You know, if something is simple, easy to understand, and it will deploy effectively, then they're going to use it. And the rate of change of AI, that nobody's going to bet, assuming an abundance future where, you know, we don't run out of money and the AI companies keep going and blah, blah, blah. But there's definitely a future in which almost everything can be achieved by talking to an AI. And it does become very hard to calculate where almost any software, not just WordPress, almost any software, like, why would I use, I use a note-taking app. Why would I use a note-taking app if I could build something in a few sentences? Okay, I want something a bit like Notion, but I want it to have, you know, this color and that color. Put it on this domain and so on and so forth. It feels to me as if we're entering a domain in which almost everybody who's mildly technical and above is having built for them by AI their own suite of things that they want to use personally, and it'll be fairly disposable. Like, I want to use this for a while, I'm planning a holiday, can I throw together an app that's going to help me build my holiday, my ideal holiday, and then the holiday's over, right, kill that now, don't need that anymore, that kind of thing. And it's hard to bet against that. It seems like that's coming.
I don't know if you brought that up intentionally or not, but I literally built a note-taking app because I was using Notion and didn't like it.
Oh, no, that was a total coincidence. Excellent. Yeah, okay. Excellent.
That's funny. Yeah, I was using Notion because it has a CLI or API or whatever, so an AI bot can use it. So I could tell Carl, go scan my website, tell me if you find any security issues, and then write up a report and save it to my Notion. And it would do that. And it was pretty slick, but then I hit a limit with the free plan of Notion. I also hated the UI. I don't know what it is. I know it's very popular, so I think I'm in the minority here.
Yeah.
But something about the way you have to organize pages and whatever, I didn't like it at all. And so when I hit that limit, I was like, well, I definitely don't like this enough to pay for it. Like, I was fine using it for free, but if they're not going to let me use it for free anymore. So I went to Carl and I was like, I want a note-taking app. My prompt was pretty simple. I didn't give it a lot of direction at first. I said, I want a simple note-taking app. I wanted to, you know, replace Notion. I'm not trying to make it do all the things Notion does. I know Notion does a lot,
right,
but I want a simple note-taking app that AI can you know, also use. And he did it. And it's a great app. I love it. And so that's one, you know, I'm just one person, but Notion potentially lost a customer, because if I couldn't create my own app, I might have had to just bite the bullet and sign up for whatever Notion's cheapest plan was so I could continue using it. But I don't have to now. And I know there's got to be other people out there, either with Notion or just other apps, who are going, you know, that maybe they're not creating a SaaS and selling it and making a lot of money, but they prevented themselves from having to pay for something because they just built their own little version of it for themselves.
Yeah.
So that's,
I think this is inevitably some part of the future where people just, you know, build things. It's disposable. You try it. You then migrate it a few weeks later because you're not happy with the way it looks or the way it behaves, or you now want it to interact with this, that, and the other thing. That'll be really curious to see, because obviously when the internet came around, there were no SaaS apps. That whole thing began and now has become the kind of modus operandi. If you've got a business in the tech space, you probably want a subscription business with some sort of SaaS behind it. That's become the way that these giant companies, you know, Google and Notion and Shopify and all these things have been built. And the erosion of that, slowly but surely, it'll be interesting to see how that is sustainable. Like, does all the money coalesce towards a very few really powerful AI companies, you know, the likes of OpenAI and Anthropic and Google and whatever else, because they are the custodians of the code which runs the AIs, meaning that we pay them for the tokens to build the things. The hosting companies obviously benefit as well because, you know, we have got to put this stuff somewhere. It'll be interesting to see if there is like a slow degeneration of that landscape of SaaS, because everybody's just sort of rolling their own. I've no idea what's going to happen around there, but I can see a world in which what you've just described is totally normal, and not just for nerds, just most people can do it. You know, I don't know. It's Saturday morning. I want to go out and buy some new shoes. I need an app that's just going to figure out where the heck I can go in the next 3 hours to get the most affordable pair of shoes, which are exactly like the ones I want. And then that app's gone. I don't need that. 3 hours later, it's gone. Don't need the shoe app anymore. What a world we live in.
It's the SaaS market is about to be attacked from two different angles. First of all, the competition is about to skyrocket because everybody's building a SaaS and trying to become a millionaire building a SaaS. And most of those are going to be crap, but some of them are going to be good. And so the competition is just going to go through the roof. And also, what I mentioned already is you're going to have people who don't even want to buy a SaaS because they can just build their own. So they got, if you're trying to sell a SaaS, you have to convince people to not build their own and to pay for mine instead. And then you also have to compete with all the other people creating SaaSes. I mean, I mentioned that league.
The soccer thing. Yeah.
So I reached out to the league director a few days ago, and because I got the app to the point where I'm like ready to reveal it to him and see if he wants to try it. I said, hey, are you still like tired of TeamSnap and looking at trying something new? He vibe coded his own already. I spent all this time making this thing, thinking there's a good chance he might be my first customer. And then I find out that he vibe coded his own. So
that's coming,
that's,
right?
That's just the way it is.
That tidal wave is coming because you don't need to be that technical. That will be such an interesting landscape.
You just need one person.
Yeah.
There's a whole board of people who manage the league. If one of those people in that board is semi technically inclined, they just save themselves thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
They're paying. I think he said they paid close to $1,000 per season, and they do winter, you know, fall, spring. So probably $4,000 a year they were paying for this app.
Yeah.
That they just saved because the league director happened to be savvy enough to vibe code an app for them.
It'll be really interesting to see, A, whether that's sustainable, you know, from the AI side, whether it'll collapse under its own, you know, venture capital borrowing and things like that. And also whether it's secure. Whether those kind of things, obviously, if you're doing it on your own computer, all bets are off. It doesn't really matter. My shoe app for Saturday morning, which is just helping me to buy shoes, I'm going to kill that. It's only on my local machine. Doesn't matter. It's fine. But the bigger, the wider sort of stuff where, you know, you're getting people logging in from on who knows where and inputting their data about football and things like that, there's something there. You know, there definitely could be problems with that kind of thing. But my expectation is that the capacity for the AI to do things better and better is only going to get better and better. And it doesn't move slowly. It's not like this juggernaut of like, yeah, it's going to creep up. So it does really seem to be going at an amazing clip. And so, you know, you and I having this conversation in 12 months' time, I have no doubt that it will be utterly different, the landscape, you know, really different. Things will have moved on so much that we'd have a completely different conversation. Wow, gosh, that was fascinating. Yeah. I'm gonna put a pin in it there, if that's all right with you, James, because mm-hmm. we've reached the 50-minute mark, and I think that's probably about the sweet spot for a podcast like this. So if anybody wants to get in touch with you and to bang you over the head with their, I am the Luddite, I don't want to hear about this, where can we find you? It sounds like you go out on social media a bit. Where are you hanging out these days?
Yeah, I'm most active on Twitter, where apparently I am just hating on WordPress all day, every day. You can find me on Twitter. It's just at James Welbus. And then I'm also on LinkedIn, but, you know, I mostly just use LinkedIn to complain about how I hate LinkedIn and to share YouTube videos.
That's what it was made for. That's the ideal. That's a great idea. I use LinkedIn to complain about LinkedIn. Okay, in which case, I will bury the links in the show notes. So if you go to wpbuilds.com, if you search for the episode with James, and his surname is spelled Welbes, I will link to social channels and things like that as well. So, James, what a fascinating conversation that was. I don't figure that we've solved anything there, but it was certainly illustrative and useful having a chat trying to figure it out. Thanks very much for your time. Okay, that's all we've got time for today. I hope you enjoyed that. Head to wpbuilds.com, search for episode number 466, and leave us a comment there. We would really like that. Couple of URLs to mention, wpbuilds.com/subscribe to keep updated, and wpbuilds.com/advertise if you would like to insert your sponsored messages into this podcast. Okay, that really is it. I am going to fade in some cheesy music and say stay safe. You have a good week. See you soon. Bye-bye for now.